Hello, once again, everybody. Thank you for joining me in the Better's Box. It's BangBook.com's MLB podcast for Thursday, June 1st. I am your host, Adam Burke. Glad to be bringing you some more baseball betting insight and analysis. This show, as all of our Bang the Book radio broadcasts, presented by DSI Sportsbook. If you head on over there, use the promo code BTB Radio. Good for a $10 free bet just for signing up. And an additional 50 to 100% deposit bonus based on the amount of your initial deposit. Few things to take care of here before we get into the heart of today's show, going with our Monday, Tuesday, Thursday format, as you know, on Bang the Book Radio. But we will not have a Tuesday takeover show next Tuesday. That is June the 6th. Then we'll also not have a Bettors Box on Monday, June the 12th. So no Bettors Box, no Monday mailbag there. A few things going on here for me over the next couple of weeks that I need to take care of. So we will not have shows there on Tuesday or Monday, but we should be able to get back on the right track there shortly thereafter. Keep in mind all the great written content over at bangthebook.com, my daily picks and analysis article, also my daily fantasy piece, NASCAR, NHL, NBA, NFL. We got some season win total stuff rolling out here. We've got how-to articles, WNBA stuff, CFL, AFL, for those that are dying for some football action right now. We've got you covered with everything you need over there at bangthebook.com. We are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. Also, while you're over there, don't forget about the three contests that we have going on. Daily Streaker Contest, Monthly Pick of the Day, then also those cash prizes for monthly win percentage, top ROI, and top number of units won. Just sign up over there at bangthebook.com with your email address. Like I said, we don't spam you or anything like that. Just want you to get involved and want to give you the chance to use our resources to your advantage. And then, of course, hopefully, with that advantage, get some of those cash prizes. So as far as today's show goes, we're going to go beyond the box score a little bit here. We'll go down the lines, look at some moves for Tuesday and Wednesday, give you a play for Thursday night, a quick daily fantasy tip or just straight-up fantasy baseball for those of you playing that this year, and then also a few series to look at for the weekend. Let's go ahead and get started here with a look beyond the box score. Now, I'm not going to recap any specific series here. Instead, I want to talk about something that I feel like I haven't spent enough time on, and that's how to handicap these minor league starters that are getting the call or some of these spot starters that are coming out. Because when you look around Major League Baseball this year, and those aforementioned fantasy players know this all too well, injuries have been a real pain this season. It's not just the 10-day disabled list either. I mean, obviously that does help teams out. If you've got some off days, you can swing it. So a starter only misses one start, stuff like that. But the disabled list, the injury bugs have just been brutal this year. So we've had a lot of spot starters, a lot of back end of the rotation guys. It truly seems like every single day there are 8 to 10 guys that are below league average, on some of them far below league average. So let's talk about that a little bit here. So far in the American League this season, the average pitcher slash, and again, that's ERA, FIP, and XFIP, a 4.24 ERA with a 4.39 FIP, 4.31 XFIP. Now, of course, you think an ERA over 4, not particularly good, but if you got a 4.10 right now, that's above league average. League average, again, 4.24, 4.39, 4.31 in the American League. In the National League, it's actually higher at 4.44 for the ERA, 4.33 FIP, 4.20 XFIP. Very surprising there in my mind to see the NL higher than the AL. Of course, a big reason for that would be because pitchers hit in the National League, and that's why I'm so surprised. But also, you know, you've got daily interleague going on all the time now, so maybe that's something that's hurt some of these NL pitchers a little bit, playing some of these interleague series. Also, some of the bigger outliers offensively in Major League Baseball reside in the National League, with the Washington Nationals on the Arizona Diamondbacks being the two teams that primarily come to mind there with that. Now, strikeout percentage and walk percentage, strikeout rate, and walk rate, two things I talk about a lot here on the show. The AL average, and I guess I should have clarified here, these are all starting pitcher averages. These are not including relievers. So that's something you want to keep in mind here while I'm breaking this stuff down. But the AL starting pitcher average strikeout percentage, 20.5%, basically averaging a strikeout a little over every one out of five plate appearances, 8.3% walk rate over the National League, 20.2%. So again, about one out of every five plate appearances for a starter results in a strikeout, then an 8.3% walk rate. So that's identical in both leagues. So again, you know, when you talk about league average from a starting pitcher standpoint, talking about some lofty numbers here. 4.24 ERA in the AL, 4.39 FIP, 4.31 xFIP, 4.44 ERA in the NL, 4.33 FIP, 4.20 xFIP. So, you know, when you're talking about starters coming up to the major leagues here, league average seems like an attainable goal, right? You know, and that's really not that bad when you think about it. I mean, you look at the offensive climate of Major League Baseball, and that's the reason that these run metrics are as elevated as they are, because you've got so many guys hitting home runs, lots of walks. You know, yes, there are more strikeouts, and the strikeout rate has increased basically every year each of the last five seasons, but still, you've got some really young, talented, athletic hitters out there. Great crop of position players here over the last few years. And those are guys that you know, make things happen. They steal bases. They hit extra base hits. They hit for power. It has nothing to do with the ball being juiced. It's not steroids or anything like that. We're just seeing a league-wide increase in offense, and you can see that in terms of looking at these starting pitcher averages. Now, as far as things go for handicapping the minor league starters and the spot starters, projection systems are out there. Zips, Steamer, all that type of thing. You can see both preseason projections and also rest of the season projections. And again, those are based on numbers that we've seen to date, adjusted for pitching in the major leagues, adjusted for playing time, all that type of stuff. So if you want to use the projection systems, you can do that. As far as some of my personal beliefs go here with this, I got a few things to throw out there. And you know, if you disagree with any of these, or if you just want to send any feedback, please hit me up on Twitter at Skating Tripods. When I look at starters in AA, I think there's more raw talent in AA. I think there's a higher ceiling in AA. So I think the hitters, you know, when they get mistakes, they're going to drive them. They're going to do some serious damage with them, but they're also going to be overpowered by pitchers that have above average stuff. That's probably going to play more like average in the major leagues. When you look at AAA, I think AAA is a level that pitchers need to go to, because a lot of times you get these guys that have significant raw talent, just tremendous raw talent. They'll go and dominate AA. But you put them in AAA where they're facing older, smarter hitters, guys that have a better plan, guys that have played in the big leagues and are still hoping to get that shot to get back. I think that element of pitchability that needs to be developed is something that's very important at the AAA level. So when I see guys that you are able to sustain success going from AA to AAA, that's a really big deal to me. You know, you see a lot of guys, a lot of these pitchers that are getting call-ups now are guys that have had great numbers in A-ball, whether it's high A, low A, rookie ball, whatever the case may be. They have great numbers there. Then they start to drop off a little bit at the upper levels of the minors. If you get guys that have success at both AA and AAA, I think those are guys that you want to pay attention to. Now, of course, you got to keep some things in mind here. The first is that when you look at specifically AAA, the International League, which is basically, you know, like the East Coast, the Northeast, that type of thing, more neutral park fact. You don't have a lot of great offensive parks there. You've got lesser climates. You've got thicker air, stuff like that. You know, Huntington Park in Columbus is one of the very well-known outliers in the International League. It's been one of the best offensive parks for quite some time. But other than that, a lot of neutral park factors here. So when you see pitchers that have some higher numbers pitching in the International League, that may be a little bit of a red flag. Now, conversely, when you look at the Pacific Coast League, the PCL, thinner, drier air, much warmer climates. You've got some teams that play in elevation. There are teams out there, there's a team in Colorado Springs. Las Vegas is notorious, where the 51s play, for being a really good offensive ballpark. So you can get some inflated numbers there. So you may have some situations where some of the pitchers coming out of the PCL have a high FIP. Maybe they have a high home run rate. But if they're going to the major leagues where they've got a neutral park factor, something that's probably going to stabilize a little bit. So that's something you want to pay attention to, is what league are these guys playing in? You know, where is the major league affiliate? Is it a PCL? Is it an IL, the International League? You know, are they playing in Columbus? Are they playing in, you know, Texas somewhere? Are they playing in, obviously, Seattle would be a place like Tacoma. So that's something you want to pay attention to, because that context really matters. You know, because a lot of the Major League Baseball parks are going to be more neutral than some of the minor league ballparks. So the minor league ballparks are just going to play exceptionally small. It's not going to be the case at the big league level. So park factor is a big deal. It's something that you want to look to handicap. It's something that, you know, you can sort of figure out. I mean, a lot of common sense plays into this, you know, based on where the ballparks are, what the weather conditions are like, stuff like that. But you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not factoring that into the equation and not paying attention to that. A few other things here to keep in mind. BABIP, batting average on balls in play, can be a little bit wonky in the minor leagues because you've got some sample size noise. The quality of defenders isn't what it's going to be at the big league level. And then also, of course, like I said, some of those parks play small. Some of those parks play big. You know, it all really depends on where you're going to be pitching. But BABIP is not the greatest of indicators because, again, it's really a luck metric, and you need a lot of sample size for that to even out. And a lot of times you don't really get that. I mean, guys have different development paths in the minor leagues. Some guys will make 15 starts at AA, 12 starts at AAA, and that'll be a season. Some guys will make 25 starts at AA, you know, where you've got that sample size to make some distinctions and some conclusions, but you're not always going to get that because of how teams shuffle guys through the system. So BABIP, not really a very good indicator for the most part for minor leaguers. But one thing I think is a really good indicator is walk rate. And if it's not accompanied with a high strikeout rate, then I'm concerned. If it's a high strikeout, high walk guy, probably has lively stuff, great movement, whether it's, you know, high velocity, a plus breaking ball, something like that, you know, sometimes hitters are just going to lay off because they're just not going to know what to do. And talented pitchers, talented prospects are going to walk guys because of that. If they've got high strikeouts and high walk rates, you know, that's a guy that probably has some stuff, probably has some chance to make it. But if you're a guy with a high walk rate and an average or lower strikeout rate, that's not good. You know, you're not fooling hitters. You're not keeping hitters off balance. Sure, you could make a caveat that, you know, when a guy gets to the major leagues, maybe a pitching coach works with him, smooths out the mechanics, something like that. But if I've got a high walk guy with an average or lower strikeout rate in the minor leagues, that's not a guy that I'm going to look to play. Unless he's got some really extreme batted ball split, like he's a 65% ground ball guy, something like that, to where he can get double plays and, you know, minimize the damage, that's maybe a little bit different. But if you've got the high walk rate with an average or lower strikeout rate in the minor leagues, what do you think is going to happen at the big league level? Scouting reports are very important. You know, there's a lot of them out there, Baseball America, Baseball Prospectus, 2080, FanGraphs, lots of scouting reports out there. Now, you got to keep a couple of things in mind here, and I don't want to throw a wet blanket on anything that goes on in the scouting community because there are a lot of people that do a lot of great work out there pounding the pavement and looking at these kids day after day. But keep in mind, a lot of scouting reports, depending on where they come from, are compiled from seeing a guy once or maybe twice. You know, the good scouts, the guys that really take it seriously out there, are going to talk with other scouts, talk with coaches, you know, use other resources, stuff like that. But a lot of times these are small sample size judgment. A start where maybe a pitcher goes out and throws 7 shutout and everything looks great, and one of the scouts comes back with a glowing report, and then the following start, he's erratic, maybe his velocity is down a little bit, doesn't have a feel for the breaking ball. A different scout sees him and goes, well, I don't really know what he's talking about. I don't really see it. So that is something that you have to kind of, you know, be wary of, be cognizant of with some of these scouting reports. I mean, you know, we've got minor league stats to go on, and you've got quality of competition differences. It can be really challenging, but, you know, get the full picture, get all of the context that you can and try to use that to your advantage. One other tip I've got here with these spot starters or minor league call-ups is that if you're interested in backing a team using one of these guys, make sure that you look at the state of the bullpen. How have they performed? You know, what does their usage look like recently? It's very important because a lot of times these spot starters are guys that aren't really stretched out. You know, there's swingmen types that'll maybe throw 4 innings, 5 innings at the most. Or if it's a call-up guy, manager might not have a whole lot of trust in that guy to face the lineup for a third time. Maybe, you know, some of these guys don't have the arm strength built up. Some of these guys don't have the trust of the manager. So you've got a 5-and-fly type of scenario or a 4-and-fly type of scenario where bullpens become a really big deal. So definitely handicap the bullpen. You know, you can find out as much about these starters as possible, but ultimately it's probably going to come down to the bullpen to protect the lead for you unless the offense really goes off. So those are some things to keep in mind here. And again, this is something that's going to happen a lot throughout the season. You know, we're going to have pitchers that go on the DL with a dead arm, you know, or some sort of minor discomfort teams will manipulate that 10-day disabled list rule. And I think this is just the tip of the iceberg as far as we've seen with some of the injuries already. Now, again, you know, a lot of high-quality starters are out. Madison Bumgarner, Corey Kluber, James Paxton, of course, comes back tomorrow. But there have been – or today, I should say. You know, there are some guys that have been out and some guys that are very good. But I don't think that this is the last of seeing a rash of pitching injuries. So hopefully some of that stuff helps you along the way here, handicapping some of those spot starters and those call-up guys. Take a look down the lines here. Look at some line moves since we were last on the air on Monday's show. Tuesday, we saw a huge move on Luis Severino, fade of Chris Tillman. That one worked out very nicely for those that got in on the Yankees as they won comfortably. Saw a move on Tyler Anderson on Tuesday against the Seattle Mariners. The Rockies fell way short in that game. Anderson struggled at the outset. That's one of those that's really tough to take because I thought that in my picks analysis piece, I had a really good handle on that game. I think when I wrote it up, it was minus 130, minus 135, closed in the minus 160 range, but the Rockies weren't able to get there in that one. So a flip favorite situation, Philadelphia and Miami on Tuesday. Vince Velasquez, the starter in that game for Philadelphia. Justin Nicolino went opposite him. Marlins took on money. That's not a surprise at all. Nobody's going to lay a road price with the Phillies, and the Marlins have been a sharp side here as we've gone throughout the season. But Velasquez now on the disabled list with a right flexor strain. That's a big problem for him. We'll see. Hopefully that doesn't become something more. But a tough loss there for the Phillies, who are already in a bit of a tailspin as it is. Nick Martinez took on some money in the Tampa Bay-Texas series. That's a bit of a surprise. He was taking on Matt Andreese there in that one. One thing I do want to point out here about Tampa Bay while I'm talking about the Rays, they've played a very difficult schedule. Some interesting underlying metrics. If you look per base runs here, they're actually plus 43 in run differential. They're minus 4 in the base run standings. If some things start to work out for them a little bit, they could be a team to watch here going forward. If they get some starting pitching from people not named Chris Archer, they could be really interesting. Just called up Jose De Leon. We'll see how long he stays up. But the Rays may be a team that you want to have on your radar here in the next couple of weeks. Money came in on the Houston Astros. That was to fade Jose Berrios. That was with Mike Fiers on the mound. Fiers had a home run to fly ball rate over 30% here on the season. That's not sustainable as bad as he is. So that was part of the move, but I also think that people, you know, really like Houston. We've seen that throughout the season here where Houston's taken on money in a lot of situations. They did again there on Tuesday night. Wednesday, we saw an early move to back Tim Adelman and the Cincinnati Reds. That was largely a lineup-driven move because Josh Donaldson out of the lineup for Toronto, just came back from injury. John Gibbons going to take it easy with him. So we saw a move in that respect there in that game. Saw some more money coming on the Astros against the Twins, David Paulino in that one. A lot of that had to do with the fact that Miguel Sano not in the lineup for the Twins. So again, I talk about this a lot. Sometimes these are starter-driven moves, ERA to exit discrepancy moves. Other times it's just about the lineup and who's in and who's out. And these two cases here, no Josh Donaldson, no Miguel Sano. Of course, you saw what happened there. James Paxton actually pitches on Wednesday. I apologize. I'm losing track of days here. But Paxton actually went on Wednesday there. Sorry, everybody. Paxton goes on Wednesday. Saw a move on him, the fade of Antonio Senzatella. Not a big surprise. Senzatella is a guy that we are looking to fade. So the market definitely trying to get out there in front of that one. I don't know why I can't figure out what's going on with James Paxton. I guess because I'm so used to seeing so many really bad names there in that Seattle rotation. But now with Paxton back, you know, we'll see if Seattle's able to get back on track a little bit from a pitching standpoint, because the offense is, it comes and goes. It comes in spurts. That's gone for a few games. And, you know, if they have that safety net of a rotation, you know, maybe they're a little bit more interesting of a team. Looking at Thursday, a very, very short schedule, only 8 games. 4 early and 4 late. The play that I like the most here for Thursday night is going to be the Boston Red Sox. They take on the Baltimore Orioles. Eduardo Rodriguez taking on Wade Miley there in that one. Eduardo Rodriguez, if you look at him, 23 starts. This goes back to the All-Star break last season. Eduardo Rodriguez, 305 ERA, 342 FIP. High fly ball percentage, so I'm not worried about the xFIP and how that's a little bit higher than the ERA. 138 strikeouts and 133 innings pitched. Only 101 hits allowed, so there's a lot of weak contact in there. Over a strikeout per inning. I think he's extremely underrated. I really like him. Maybe it's just a name recognition thing because he's not Chris Sale. He's not Rick Porcello. But I think the pricing of him has been a little bit off here throughout the season. And as we know, regression coming for Wade Miley. That should happen sooner rather than later. So I'll go with the Boston Red Sox on Thursday night against the Baltimore Orioles. This is a little bit of a general fantasy tip, but it is something that will impact your handicapping a little bit. The Super 2 deadline should be coming up next week. What Super 2 is it's a deadline that kind of varies a little bit each year, but it's the time where enough service time has passed in the season for teams to start calling up prospects. What happens is if you call them up before the service time deadline, you lose a year of control. You know, sometimes you get some fourth-year arbitration guys. It's one of the few contract loopholes that there are in Major League Baseball. I mean, a lot of the other sports have a lot more contract loopholes, but here's one in baseball. And what we see is a lot of prospects that are doing very well over the first 2 months of the year kind of held back until this Super 2 deadline goes by. So here's a few names that you want to keep in mind, whether it's for fantasy purposes, betting purposes, daily fantasy, whatever you want to go with here. Ahmed Rosario for the New York Mets. Shortstop has been a big problem for the Mets all year long. They're basically just waiting for the Super 2 deadline to pass to bring Rosario up. He should be an impact player right away. Good hitter, great defender. A lot of places have him as a top 10 prospect in baseball. He should be a guy that has an immediate impact there for the New York Mets. Rhys Hoskins, the first baseman in the Phillies organization. They should be able to find some playing time for him. I think that that's certainly something that they'll look to do because he's tearing up AAA pitching. He'll help them offensively. And if you followed the Phillies this year, you know that they need a shot in the arm offensively. Franklin Barreto with the Oakland A's, another shortstop prospect here. With Marcus Semien out, very easy to fit him into the equation. So Barreto's going to be a guy that comes up pretty quickly here, I would think. The A's, of course, very cost-conscious. So they will make sure that the Super 2 deadline has passed, but he's a guy that should come up. Swings and misses a fair amount, but he's got some really good pop from his short little frame. I think he's a guy that could have a little bit of an impact here as well. A couple more guys, Lewis Brinson in the Brewers organization, an outfielder. With Ryan Braun and his injury problems, Milwaukee will find a spot for him. Now, the future is now for the Brewers if you look at how they've constructed this team. So Brinson's a guy that should come up pretty quickly here. I think he may actually be one of the first call-ups after the Super 2 deadline. Then one more, Yoan Moncada from the Chicago White Sox. Picked him up from Boston, the Chris Sale deal. He'll come up quickly as well. Got a cup of coffee in the big leagues last year. Certainly seems like the type of guy that will be fast-tracked up the White Sox equation. You know, it's not like they have anyone really blocking him right now with what's going on in Chicago. So he'll be a guy that should come up rather quickly. I don't think that there's a ton of young arms that'll come up quickly, but you know, we'll have to see. I mean, teams are going to start doing some things here. You know, now that we're a little more than 30% into the season, you know, we'll start to see some teams setting themselves up for next year, you know, getting some of these prospects up to take away those nerves and jitters. That will be a thing that happens over the next couple of weeks. I think the Super 2 deadline I saw on Twitter somewhere around June 4th, which of course would be Sunday. So we should start to see some of those guys get called up. So if you're playing in keeper leagues, go and get some of these guys right now. Stash them on your bench. You know, look to maintain some of them. I think Rosario is probably the guy at the top of the list right now. And then, you know, everybody kind of on down from there. But those are guys that you certainly want to look at here over the next couple of weeks. So what am I looking at here for the weekend? The Cardinals-Cubs get to rekindle their rivalry. Lance Lynn, John Lackey on Friday. Mike Leake, John Lester Saturday. Michael Wacha, Kyle Hendricks on Sunday Night Baseball. The Cardinals go to Cincinnati on Monday. Cubs host the Marlins. So no real big advantages coming out of Sunday Night Baseball here this week from a situational standpoint. But this is a very interesting series. The Cardinals have had some serious left-on-base percentage regression from their pitching staff over the last little while. The offense just does not look very good for the Cardinals right now. On the other hand, you've got the Cubs, who can't seem to get it going either. They've had a lot of problems themselves. I know they are one of the more disciplined teams so far this season. So I'll be really curious to see what happens with the Chicago Cubs if they do happen to get this thing rolling, get this thing in a positive direction. You would think with some of the regression signs for some of the guys that are coming up for the Cardinals this weekend, this should be a good chance for the Cubs to get back on track. But, you know, hey, handicapping regression isn't foolproof. I've talked about that before. You're just playing the percentages, playing the likelihoods. We'll just have to see how that series shakes out. Houston and Texas, a Lone Star State battle in the American League West. Astros are 3-1 against the Rangers so far this year. The Astros were 4-15 against the Rangers last season. One of last season's biggest anomalies, biggest outliers. Very, very strange to see that happen. You got Dallas Keuchel, Yu Darvish on Friday. Lance McCullers, Andrew Kashner Saturday. Brad Peacock, Martin Perez on Sunday. Sets up really well for a Houston series price. You're going to pay for it because you've got that McCullers-Kashner matchup in the middle and Martin Perez on Sunday. But Houston should take this series. And I think Friday night should be a great game between Keuchel and Darvish. So if you're going to watch anything this weekend from a baseball standpoint, that's probably the one. But really like the Houston series price this weekend, even if you got to pay for it a little bit. One more series on my radar for this weekend, Washington and Oakland. I mentioned this before, but good teams tend to run bad in Oakland. Washington's a good team. You know, but a long trip out west, that can be something difficult, especially the longer you're out there playing in San Francisco now, go to Oakland next. We'll have to see how things play out there for Washington. Oakland, of course, coming back from a trip to Cleveland for a rare four-gamer. You got Steven Strasburg and Andrew Triggs on Friday, Joe Ross, Daniel Mengden on Saturday, Tanner Roark, Sonny Gray on Sunday. I like the under on Sunday. I got to watch Gray. He didn't end up pitching very well against Cleveland, but I thought the stuff looked good. You know, the Indians just put some really good swings on him there and sort of showcased how good that lineup can be. But I thought the stuff looked pretty good from Sonny Gray. It had life. It was explosive. It's pretty nice to watch. And then Tanner Roark, as you know, a guy that I really like. But the A's are quickly becoming one of the biggest outliers. And they've got some guys coming up from the minor leagues here. I mentioned Barreto already. They've got some others as well. The A's could be a much improved lineup the rest of the way with Yonder Alonso coming together, Jed Lowry hitting for more power. Chris Davis will get it going. So the A's could be a little bit of an underrated commodity here over the next few weeks, but I don't know if that happens in this series against Washington. But again, I do like the under on Sunday, looking ahead to that one, as something that you can keep in the back of your mind. Well, that'll do it for today. Hopefully, you know, I gave you some good thoughts there on how to handle those spot starters and also some of those minor league guys, because like I said, I think that is a thing that we'll have to contend with throughout the season. Coming up on Monday, we'll have another edition of the Bettors Box and the Monday Mailbag. So please shoot over your questions, feedback, concerns, all that stuff to me. No Tuesday takeover next week, but we will have a Bettors Box on Thursday. So a couple of those coming your way here as we start off the first full week of June. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And remember that you will never strike out when you're in the Bettors Box.